Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It is Dan here with you until 7 p.m. tonight, and you think of all of that time spent in the backyard and hoping to make a great burger, maybe hot dogs, maybe ribs, maybe, you know, maybe you're doing some pulled pork sandwiches. Who knows? It's unlikely that you will ever ascend to the pantheon that a Tim Scheer resides in on a daily basis. Of course, you know, multiple world championships, whether it's the American Royal, the Grand Championship of Memphis in May. It is, you know, all of the successful championships that Blues Hog has led to for millions of barbecue teams, professionals, and pitmasters out there. Excited to have one extra title to add to his resume coming up in July. Well, that would be Chicago resident, as he's going to be headlining the barbecue side for Windy City Smokeout. It's the one and only Tim Scheer. Tim, welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dane. Nice to be here, buddy. How are you today?
I am good. Are those real birds tweeting?
I've got real birds. I've got real burgers. I've got real hot dogs. I've got real pork steaks, real ribs, a real backyard. It feels good to be home on the weekend finally, bud.
Well, that's America.
Everything you said is exactly what I'm cooking today.
So for those people that want to contemplate, you know, when you get to the point of a Tim Scheer where, you know, you have the world of barbecue as your resume and your DNA, and people want to contemplate that aspirational backyard setup. So do you have, is it like a command central kind of thing where you have multiple, you know, whether it's grills everywhere or maybe some sort of a computer system where you can monitor things? What is it like? What is a Tim Scheer's backyard like?
It's a little piece of paradise, to be honest with you. You know, Dana, I used to own a landscaping company. So before I quit doing that, I made sure to finally get my own backyard done. So we built a pool back here. I laid every stone on this thing and built an outdoor kitchen and pizza oven. And like you said, you know, a regular grill, a gateway drum smoker. I've got what I call the wishing well, which is a big old 500-gallon stone pit that I cook whole hogs on back here in the backyard. So I've got my TV ready for the tonight's game. I'm going to be rooting for the Celtics in Game 7. So we're excited.
And now, of course, you are, and I don't know if you were, maybe, you know, over time osteoporosis could set in, or maybe some genetically taller person, but you were known as the tallest man in barbecue, and you were a pretty accomplished basketball player yourself, right?
I was okay, yeah. We had a pretty good high school team, a couple state championships. It was a lot of fun back in the day, but yeah, I've got all the aches and pains right now you know, as souvenirs, I guess you would say.
Well, what makes someone, so I was wondering about this. So Eric Land's a guy that you know that is also, you know, he is from Kentucky. And so he doesn't have necessarily some sort of a affiliation with the Celtics, but he's a huge Celtics fan. Are the Celtics just one of those teams, you know, much like the Dallas Cowboys, right, or the New York Yankees, that just have fans all over the place because of whether it's the success or maybe it's a cool factor or maybe ways that people identify with those teams?
Well, yeah, so as you know, Jason Tatum's from St. Louis, and that's, you know, our area, and my oldest daughter's name is Tatum. So I bought her a Jason Tatum jersey, obviously, you know, probably 5 years ago when we were doing a barbecue competition out in Boston. So, you know, we've got a little connection there, and I actually played ball with a bunch of, you know, Jason's uncles and cousins and things like that back in the day, so... Oh. We enjoy keeping up on that kind of thing, and like you said, it's just been fun to, you know, have that kind of connection and root for somebody, since obviously St. Louis has no NBA team to root for. So yeah. That's it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun to watch, and glad that they stretch it out to Game 7 now. It's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting, right? And it's kind of a capper on what has been a really cool holiday weekend, and on the food side is one of the great ways that people celebrate and you get together with family and friends. And so you have all of those things in front of you, and there's certainly a little, I'm sure your family gives you, I don't want to say a pass, so certainly there's expectations, but it, Tim Scherer, do you put pressure on yourself to come up with, you know, an amazing spread? Because this is one of those holidays on the calendar that's also known as much as it is, not even as nearly as much. Obviously, it's related to, you know, the men and women in uniform and the sacrifice, but people celebrate it with food. Do you feel pressure to do even more, or you think sometimes, well, you'll just do burgers or hot dogs?
No, I don't do half of nothing, Dane. You know that. But the funny thing is, I don't succeed. I literally just put the pork steaks, and I was going to do a quick rack of baby back ribs that I saw at the grocery store, and I put them on my grill, walked away, and sure enough, they took off on me and got a little char on them. So, hey, it happens to the best of us, right? But the good thing is, like you said, I do try to put on the spread, so we've got a lot of options still to come. I'm going to do some Wagyu beef burgers. I've got a picanha roast on the grill right now. It's going to be awesome. I've got a big old head, two big heads of cauliflower. I got to be careful. I called it cabbage a while ago, and I got yelled at. It's cauliflower. So I've got a bunch of mushrooms on there, and just, yeah, you're right. We're doing the spread, and, you know, all my neighbors came over, and, you know, they're all jumping in the pool and spraying each other and spraying everybody with water guns right now. So, yeah, that's what it's all about. It's a lot of fun.
So some listeners are texting in, like, where is the mega drum right now? Is that something that you keep, like, in a Fort Knox situation?
No, you wouldn't believe where it's at. Brother D, we were out in Denver. Speaking of NBA, the Nuggets are in there, and a lot of hype going on there. We were out of Denver, the Q-Fest, at Mile High Stadium, Saturday and Sunday, just this weekend. So I got back late last night. Brother D's pedaling home, so I feel bad for him. He's on the mega drum home, and everything else today on his holiday. So shout out to Brother D for his extra overtime.
Yeah, shout out to Dickie. So does he ever get, you know, it's a long trip that he takes. Does he ever stop? You know, he has all the accoutrements in that trailer, and of course the mega drum.
Doesn't stop.
Oh, no, he's been instructed not to stop? Because let's say he gets flagged down.
I don't instruct him. He's a nonstop flight kind of guy, man. I mean, if you ride with Brother D, you better bring a jug, because he ain't stopping unless he needs fuel.
Or maybe let's say there's, you know, some starving people. I don't know. Maybe, you know, I guess that would be a game time decision. We're going to take a break, and we come back. One of the greatest honors that you can have in the barbecue world is the Barbecue Hall of Fame. And Bill Arnold, the founder of Blues Hog, who passed it on to Tim and their great stewardship on the sauces and the rubs, been behind so many championships, been a part of probably many Hall of Famers' careers as well. So he's going to be inducted in that. We're going to talk about that, and plus Windy City Smokeout coming up as well. So stay tuned. We'll have more with Tim Scherer when we come back. But right now it's time for traffic and weather with Ron Brown. A lot of people in their backyard, but not everyone has a giant, I don't know if it's like a 5.5-foot Memphis and May Grand Champion trophy to celebrate the the perfect ribs with, but Tim Scherer does, and he is on the line. Tim, welcome back.
Mm-hmm. I'm back, buddy. How you doing?
I am good. So on the beverage side, so you have been a great proponent for Coors over time, but then also I think you got into Busch Light a little bit too. So what is on the refreshment side for a Tim Scherer?
I'm having a Natty Light right now, to be honest with you. you know, I mean, it's just every day is a new day, you know, but I'm not a hater on any of them, to be honest with you. I like them all. That's I know my wife and neighbors are pouring up a little El Bandito in their margaritas right now. I can tell you that.
I can't blame them, right? Because these are people who know how to have a great celebration on the.
That's so good.
You got to stay hydrated too on a day like today. So I wanted to ask you this, and think about it. And you have been, you know, you've always talked about what a great influence, what a great friend, what a great mentor, right, Bill Arnold was, and then for the Barbecue Hall of Fame to recognize and honor him in this year's class has been, it's got to be, number one, gratifying, cool. It's another opportunity to share all that stuff about Bill.
It is, and Billy deserves it. You know, he deserved it years ago. Honestly, we were pushing for it, you know, trying to get him in before he passed away. Unfortunately, you know, that didn't happen, but, you know, nonetheless, it's great to have him in. It was one of his, honestly, it was one of his goals. You know, Billy was the kind of guy that just, you know, it was never, he never thought it was good enough, you know what I mean? So he wanted to be remembered by something. I'm like, Billy, you've already done your work. Like, you're an absolute legend, whether you're in the Hall of Fame or not. And, but, you know, just for him to be in, it's great for his family and his His hometown of Jackson, Tennessee, is excited, and I know his daughters are excited, and his brother and everybody is, you know, they're ecstatic about it, and so am I, obviously. I mean, it's you know, the most well-deserving. I think all the comments on social media were about time and all that. So anyway, so it's great for him, and you know, like, we would already remember him regardless, you know, for what he's done with barbecue and his legendary flavors and sauces that he created. I mean, it's just another feather in Bill's hat, to be honest with you. And we're really proud of it.
Well, it's one thing to you know, have all of that success supporting, you know, champions on the competition barbecue side, and everybody, you know, is familiar with that, and so many people have won so much with those great sauces and rubs and those recipes and all that. And one of the things that you're doing is on the educational side. I mean, that's letting a lot of people know about it, certainly what we're doing here, but then also is bringing those great, you know, sauces and rubs, you know, from the competition side and all that success to everybody, right? To just backyards and stores and kitchens all across the country. So talk a little bit about Blues Hog, right? So he has those recipes, and of course you're great at all that stuff too, and have expanded the product line, but to be able to take it from the competition side and bring it to the masses is really what's happening.
Yeah, well, honestly, Dane, you know, Billy's direct words to me were, you know, I want Blues Hog to be in every household in America. And that's what he told me, you know what I mean? And he probably thought I wasn't paying attention, but I'll be dang if I was, you know what I mean? So that's kind of been what, you know, what our dedication has been to, is to take his brilliant recipes and flavors and just push them out to everybody that we know. So we've been working hard about it, traveling the country, doing events and shows, like we were out in Denver this weekend, and we've expanded our distribution. You know, we've gone through Ace Hardware and Walmart has picked us up here now with certain flavors. So we're doing everything we can to fulfill his dream and you know, do the best we can in his honor. So, you know, that's big shoes to fill, if you ask me, and I'll probably never do it right, but we're gonna give it all we got in the process. I guarantee that.
So how hard is that? And does it take sort of like a pitmaster's palate or a chef to be able to translate some of the things that he did on the smaller scale and do it in that huge scale? You mentioned something like the Ace Hardware are one thing. That's everywhere and all over the place. But Walmart, that's a whole nother ball game. I mean, that's just mass quantities. Is that the kind of thing that's, I don't want to say it's impossible, right? But that's got to be a challenge right there.
Well, no, I mean, our motto is, look, we is competition tested, okay, and backyard proof. That's what we do, right? So, you know, I've made that commitment, and I learned a ton from Billy when he was creating recipes and stuff. Let's taste everything. Taste. You know, if it's not right, it goes back. So we've done that. You know, for example, his raspberry chipotle, you know, was a sauce that he always made small batch in his kitchen because he's grinding real raspberries and real chipotle peppers. And, you know, who in the world would do that on a mass scale? Well, we will do that on mass scale, you know, because that's the way Billy did it, you know. And so we do that still today. And guess what? Raspberry chipotle is one of our number one sellers. I mean, it's a phenomenal product. It's a game changer when you taste it. It's one of those things where, you know, sometimes you just can't cut corners, you know, and it's not worth it to us. So we want everything that we do to be supreme. We want it to be the best of the best. Like I said earlier, we don't want to do half of anything. I mean, that's the only thing we do half of is sell a half a gallon of barbecue sauce. And I'm not even proud of that. Can somebody just buy a gallon?
Yeah, I mean, it is really, really good stuff. And I can't convey that to the listeners enough that it is. You mentioned game changer. It's the kind of, you know, I get sent a lot of stuff, you know, working in and around, you know, the food side of things, and people will send stuff. And it is a sauce that I buy on a regular basis. And I think that's something that tells you something right there. It is really good. And like you said, the line is expanding. You're going to be here in person. We mentioned you'll add Chicago resident to your resume. You're going to be here headlining on the barbecue side, Windy City Smokeout. And this is a thing that's been going on for the last 10 years. It has been growing. It is one of the more prestigious events that is a public facing event, right? It isn't necessarily a contest. It's not Memphis in May, and it's not, you know, the American Royal, but for the fans to be able to have access to these great pit masters from around the country. And it's going to be great to have you in town.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Dane, we've been wanting to do this event for a long time, but, you know, it's always been, you know, this contest or that contest, and we've kind of shifted our focus, you know, from some of those competitions to more festivals, and that's, you know, but don't get me wrong, we still try to win them. We were out in Denver this weekend, and, you know, when people come over and say, oh, you guys have the best stuff in the lot, and I'm like, all right, good, that's a win for us. So I'm a competitive person, so you know, that kind of motivates us, and we don't want to turn out anything that's not up to our standards. So we're going to bring that attitude and that cooking concept up to Chicago, and it's going to be a fantastic event. I'm sure they've got some killer music and you know, tons of people, and you know, we just want to spread the Blues Hog love up there as well.
Well, I know Darius Rucker is going to be there. Zach Brown Band, Luke Bryan is going to be there. And on the music side, and this is, I mean, it's, we just had RJ Melman on, president of Lettuce. And so you got to look at a little bit of some of the things that are happening. He said it's already, you know, some of those nights are already sold out. So it's kind of half like amazing barbecue event and then half, you know, really amazing country music opportunity too. Yeah. So for fans, it's going to be like 50,000 people.
Yeah, it all goes together, right? So barbecue, music, the whole deal. It's going to be a fantastic weekend for everybody. I'm sure we'll be working on tails off, but it'll all be worth it in the end. But that's the biggest thing for us, is honestly just get it in the public's mouth. I mean, you know, once they try it, they're hooked on it, and that's what we like. So you know, that's about the easiest thing we can do at this point.
We're going to have links up at WGNradio.com for all of that stuff. And Tim, as we let you go, and I know there's Marble Ridge and of course the Gateway Drum Smokers, is there like a, you know, a one-stop shop on the website or social media side for maybe people to kind of check into all the things that you're doing and get more information?
Yeah, I mean, you can check us out at blueshog.com, Gateway Drum Smokers, Marble Ridge Farms, but the one-stop shop for information and everything else is going to be thebbqleague.com, and that's a website where you can learn everything that we do, tips and tricks and discounts and everything else. So thebbqleague.com is probably the one-stop shop.
One of the very best in the business out there celebrating in his backyard, his self-made backyard with all of the accoutrements of barbecue success, the one and only Tim Shear. So, Tim, we'll let you get back to it. Best of the family, yeah. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Dan, you said it better. I call it the Redneck Riviera, but anyway, it's whatever you want to call it. I appreciate it. And thanks, Dan. Have a good weekend. I appreciate everybody listening.
Yep, you too. We are going to take a break, and we come back. You want to go down there and visit him. You want to get out for a great road trip, an event, a vacation. You're going to stay tuned for Eileen Ogans with TakingTheKids.com. So keep it here. It's Dane on Memorial Day, 720 WGN. This is the time. It is the unofficial. I mean, it could be official. I'm not sure really if there's an official or unofficial. Get your white shoes out. And it is the kickoff to summer. And that means people are contemplating our kids that not everybody loves, right? Would be, they just got out of school. And I'm sure a lot of other kids are out of school too. And they're saying, we want to go someplace, right? And since they don't have, you know, school to go to, then maybe plan a vacation. The person who knows more about that, syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune, and of course, all that great work on takingthekids.com, the one and only Eileen Ogans. Eileen, welcome to WGN.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
It's great to talk to you. We've missed you so much. Obviously, so many times you've joined the program, a great friend of WGN and a longtime, you know, supporter of all things fun when it comes to travel. And if you can bring those kids along with you, you're better off. And now, so Eileen, do you feel it, right? This is it feels like it's the busiest, right? They were saying for Memorial Day, you know, the airplane, everything is back, right? Travel is at the highest level or even higher, right? We're all the way back.
Yeah, we're definitely back. And I think AAA was saying that this is a really busy Memorial Day. So this may be the time, if you're planning or you're thinking about a summer trip, you don't want to be spontaneous, whether you want to go camping or you want to go to a city. It's good to book ahead. That said, there are still plenty of affordable options out there for families, whatever ages the kids are.
What are some of the things that people are asking you about or excited about? I know that, and we're going to definitely talk before we let you go, we're definitely going to talk cruises because that's one of your sort of areas of supreme expertise. But as far as like for a family vacation, is it pile everybody in the family truckster and head out to a national park? Is it head to Disney World? I mean, is that always, you know, a great option? What are some of the trends out there?
Yeah, Well, that's always an option. I mean, the thing about Orlando is the summer is very hot, and it's, you know, thunderstorms in the afternoon. So I would think if you can wait for a fall weekend of, you know, fall to go to Orlando, and it'll be less crowded and less you know, not nearly as hot. As far as cruising goes, one of the most popular options this summer is Alaska. And believe it or not, there are still a lot of deals out there to Alaska. It's one of the easiest bucket trips to get to. You just have to get to either Seattle, San Francisco, or Vancouver. And the ships have activities, you know, think of it like a floating hotel, basically, as you get from place to place without it, some places where there are no roads, like Juneau, for example. So there are activities for all ages, all kinds of good food, entertainment, and really good deals. You know, like Holland America has this anniversary sale going on, and they've still got kids free cruises. You can eat your fill of Alaska seafood on Princess. They've got a new Wild for Alaska seafood program and extra spirits. And if you're traveling just with adults or adult kids and you want a luxurious experience, you can try Seabourn. Smaller, all-inclusive ships, and the options for more adventurous kind of excursions.
So, Eileen, now, when it comes to cruising, and it comes to cruising and in Alaska, is the great activities and the great food, is that just on the ship, or is it, you know, you mentioned some of the seafood, and of course, it's known for, like, the salmon and stuff like that. Do you get off, and I guess a little bit of that, you know, you get to interact with the locals, but I don't know, is Alaska known for great food?
Well, the seafood,
for
yeah.
Sure, yep.
You get off all the time, and then you have your option of all kinds of activities, whether you want to explore the quirky little towns, you know, go through a bald eagle preserve, see bears, you know, go biking or kayaking or whale watching on Cunard, let's say. So there's all kinds of activities, and what I like about a cruise, Alaska is especially popular for multi-generational groups because the grandparents want the kids to learn something on vacation. So there's so much variety that, let's say, the parents and the kids can go in one direction during the day, the grandparents do something else, and then they all come together at dinner. And talk about what they did all day.
Yeah.
And then the kids' activities are, they're aimed to teach the kids something, too. Like if you're on Holland America, when they cruise through Glacier Bay, the kids can get junior ranger badges. And on Princess, they have a partnership with Discovery, so they have special Discovery-oriented activities.
So, I
think it's a nice mix.
Yeah, it's neat to have that educational piece kind of built into it, and obviously the natural beauty and all that. So stay tuned. We're going to hold tight, Eileen. We're going to return to our conversation with Eileen. We're going to talk about some of the other trips people are going to be taking and taking the kids along with when we come back. But right now, it's time for the traffic and weather with Ron Brown. And we're talking a little bit about, as this is the kickoff to summer, those family vacations, getting out there, trying to figure out what you're going to do and where you're going to go, and excited to have on the line. You know her from all that great work on the Chicago Tribune, and then, of course, TakingTheKids.com. It's Eileen Ogans. Eileen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day to you. And are there other things? One of the things that you know, people are noticing, obviously, I do a bunch of travel, and as people are sort of planning those vacations, is that the costs of things just seem a lot higher. Now, is it the kind of thing if you just have to be a little more proactive on your deal hunting, or is it just something that as a family, you just have to be prepared to pay more?
Well, obviously, you want to get the best deals, and sometimes you can just adjust your dates, right? And look for kids free or kids discounts. In this economy, it's also good if you can find stuff that's all inclusive, because that way you know in advance what your outlay is going to be. For an adventurous family, if you want to get outdoors but without all the work, you could do a river raft trip, summer, appropriate for kids as young as four. Like, for example, Row Adventures has family magic trips, and Oars has ones as well in Cataract Canyon that are still available. So I really love whitewater rafting because you're out there, there's no cell service, but everything's provided for what you need. And there's a very amiable crew who does all the cooking and the heavy lifting. So people tell me they think it's like backpacking without all the work. So that's something to consider.
There's a lot of teenagers out there that maybe listening, or their parents are writing this down, whitewater rafting, no cell service, and they're going to be terrified. Not only because of the
but you know, they'll be so busy kayaking, having water fights, stand-up paddle boarding, that they won't even miss their cell phones, you know, really. Whenever there are surveys about camping, teenagers always say it's kind of a relief to be off the grid, you know, because they don't have to post all the time.
Now, Eileen, have you found that is it more dangerous? And we always talk about this. There's so much more news and media out there. Is it really just kind of reflecting? Is there just more outlets for information about things? Or is it really kind of more dangerous? Because you see everybody's got, you know, cameras now, and they had where the guy's kayaking and then a shark comes up and bites his boat. Is this kind of stuff, as a person who's had her hand on the pulse of the travel world for a long time, is this stuff always happen? You know, people being attacked by bears?
The reason you're seeing it or hearing about it is because it's so rare. And if you're on, let's say, an organized wilderness trip with experienced guides, they're going to keep you safe, you know, as long as you follow the rules. And that's the same in the national parks. You know, when you hear about someone falling into a bubbling pool at Yellowstone or something, it's because they got off the boardwalk, you know, and they did what they weren't supposed to do. So I think the one thing we should say is, I think sometimes people get, when they go to national parks or they go into the wilderness, they kind of think they're at Disney World, you know. They're so used to controlled thrills. So you need to really be mindful of where you are and follow the rules, and chances are you'll be just fine. That's not to say, you know, people are getting bitten by sharks and all kinds of things can happen. But the reason we're hearing more about it is because it just, you know, it happens. I don't think the world's any more dangerous than it ever was.
The opportunity to get out and do the national parks is something that you've always been a great proponent for and to share. Do you have some favorites? Everybody thinks about, you know, Yellowstone or some of the ones that are, you know, just in that team photo of real popular ones. Are there some that are out there that you think are great and you shouldn't miss that maybe aren't on the front page all the time?
There are. And one thing I would say, you know, if you are thinking about going to some of the big ones like Yellowstone or Rocky Mountain National Park or Yosemite, you've got to check in advance because a lot of them are having timed. You have to basically have a reservation to enter. It's not that it's going to cost you anymore. It's just they're trying to control the crowds because the crowds were just so crazy over
during the pandemic. I know. Yeah.
So there are a lot of, less visited national parks, I'm just thinking as I talk to you, and a lot of them, they may get far fewer visitors than like the big ones. So, but that said, when you are in the big national parks, they're so big that you could get away from the crowds. You don't have to.
It's definitely not a Disney World type experience. You have the opportunity to be at one with nature, and that's something that's really cool. We've done a little bit of that, but I want to get, our family before they get too big, just don't want to hang out with us anymore. You want to get them out to some of those parks. And so, Eileen, give the information for takingthekids.com and some of the cool stuff that you have. I know there's a focus in different ways, and of course the books and things like that. Where can people get all that information?
On my website, takingthekids.com, and we've just posted a big 51 summer vacation ideas. So there's a lot there, and there's a new blog. There's one about rafting, and there's another one about cruising Alaska.
Wow.
And if people are heading to New York or D.C., there are new editions of my kids' guides to those cities that they can get them on Amazon.
We'll have links up at WGNRadio.com and takingthekids.com. The city guides are great, and all of that information, and all with that family focus in mind as well. So, Eileen, we'll let you get back to your Memorial Day, but thanks so much for everything you're doing, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
Sure, and happy travels for sure.